Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, October 12th, 2023. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I'm going to do something quite different than I usually do. On Monday, if you've tuned in and you're a regular listener, you know I'm focusing in on the latest news with my Iranian friends. And I spend that half an hour to 45 minutes talking about the issues, maybe reading from my books and explaining what's going on in Iran. But Thursday, I always take the time to focus in on the Spirit and the Word, the Gospel, the good news of Christ, biblical issues, biblical subjects, because I want this program to be a blend of not only human rights and speaking out for the suffering of my Iranian friends, but also a proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the Cross in the Desert is all about. Today I'm going to talk on the theme that I talked about last time, the power of the gospel, the life-transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the last time we got together on a Thursday, I spoke to you from the scriptures one of the accounts in Mark's gospel about a demon-possessed man who Jesus set free from the powers of darkness and liberated this man to become a powerful witness for Jesus. And I'm going to continue that theme today. I'm going to talk about the power of the gospel in the life-transforming way that it changes those that are bound by the powers of darkness. And before I get to the main ingredient of today's topic, I want to set up our teaching with what Scripture says about the liberating power of the gospel. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, Peter is explaining again this incredible power of the gospel and how it changes our lives forever. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I like the way that Peter frames this message, saying that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And of course, that is echoing what Jesus says when he declares that I am the light of the world. He who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will walk in my light. We are a chosen race of royal priesthood. We've been called out of darkness into light. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. I love the language here, how the cross of Christ has reconciled us to a holy God, that all of our sins have been nailed to the cross, have been forgiven by his blood, that in the cross Jesus openly disarmed the rules or the rulers and authorities. This echoes back to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul describes our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and demonic entities, which Christ has disarmed through his cross. One more scripture. In the book of Acts, which has been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the early church preaching, the church reached out to those involved in magical arts, the occult, and paganism. And it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So one of the first things these new converts to the Christian faith did is they burned all of the books that had influenced their lives in the area of magical arts and the occult, and they burned them. They had a radical break with their past when they met Jesus in the gospel. Why am I talking to you about all of these scriptures from darkness to light, burning books, magical arts, Jesus disarming principalities and powers through his cross? Well, I'm doing that because I want to talk about a subject that the church needs to really talk about more. And it's the story of how a young lady, a very, very, very prominent person in social media, left the trappings of witchcraft and the occult and became a Christian. And she's someone that I was not aware of until I read her story on the internet. I was not familiar with this person, but her story is amazing. And she is well known all over social media. Her name is Kat Von D. And I came across this video of Kat Von D being baptized at a church in Indiana after receiving Christ as her Lord and Savior. And I felt that this would be a very important topic to demonstrate the absolute incredible power the life-changing, chain-breaking, transforming power of the gospel. And this is a great example of that. Now, the reason I want to talk about this, and I'm going to share her story in just a minute, it was just about a year ago that I published a book called A Witch in the Woods, The Persecution of Rebecca. This is a story set in the 17th century, and it's the story of a friendship between a Puritan, that is Nathaniel, and Rebecca, who left Barbados to come to the New World, to Massachusetts, to Salem Village, after her parents were murdered. And to make a long story short, this is the story of Rebecca, who, after she comes to America, to the colonies, to the Massachusetts Bay Colony, that is, to Salem Village, she's been struggling with her background, her Christian faith. And she, as a young 15-year-old girl, is exploring new avenues of beliefs. And she becomes friends with a practicing pagan, a witch, who lives in the wood, who's been ostracized, who's been kicked out of church because of her beliefs. And Rebecca is drawn to this kind of worldview, this pagan worldview. I wrote this book to condemn the Salem witch trials of 1692. These several men and women who were falsely accused of practicing witchcraft or being witches, and they were put to death by the Puritans. And I wrote this book to condemn that and say that that was evil and it was wrong, that these people were not guilty of being witches. And even if they were, it was wrong to put them to death. And, of course, this has been a major contentious point for those that practice Wicca, those that are involved in paganism. And I wrote this book to be an outreach to those involved in Wicca and witchcraft and paganism to say, look, as a Christian, I condemn this. This was wrong. But, hey, I want to talk to you about Christ and Christianity and try to help you to see that what happened there is not representative of the Christian church whatsoever. So I did that book a year ago. And when I come across a story like this, it brings up a whole set of talking points that I want to discuss with us this morning. And that is how the church should approach, should interact with, and how the church should reach out to those with extreme backgrounds, for instance, coming out of witchcraft and paganism, how we are to treat them, how we are to disciple them, or how we are to talk to them if they're going through a battle and having questions, and they have in front of them the Salem witch trials, and they say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, I want nothing to do with it. It's wrong. And we as the church have a responsibility to answer those objections and to reach out with the true life-changing gospel of Christ. So I said all of that to say this. This young lady, I want to talk to us about her and maybe try to answer some questions or objections you may have when you hear about her story. Now, I'm going to take an article from the Christian Post written by Jeannie Ortega Law. She's a reporter, and I'm going to quote this story. And I want you to listen carefully because I'm going to come back and we're going to discuss this subject. This is so important to my heart, and it should be important to your heart as well as a Christian. Celebrity tattoo artist Catherine Von Drakenberg, widely known in Hollywood as Kat Von D, from the TLC reality show L.A. Link, shared a video of herself being baptized. Drakenberg, or Kat Von D, whose gothic style has gained her much popularity, renounced the occult and witchcraft last year. Now she has taken the next step in her walk with Jesus by following the biblical ordinance of baptism. The reality star shared a video montage of her baptism on Instagram just this past Tuesday. The clip shows her family and friends proudly looking on as she was baptized at a local Indiana church service. And in this video, she has a caption, a picture of the cross. And you can see this pastor, I imagine, baptizing her. He says, "Kate Von D, upon your profession of the Lord Jesus Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And the pastor is heard saying that before he immerses her in the water. Now, Kat is dressed in this white robe, and she's listening intently to what the pastor is saying. And when she emerges from the water after being baptized, she immediately hugs the pastor. And the footage of this video shows her also singing in the church choir throughout the service. Now, what is this all about? Well, she made this statement about a year ago on her Instagram account. She's a tattoo artist. She has a line of clothing and books and things like that. And she says, "I don't know if any of you have been going through changes in your lives right now, but in the last few years, I've come to some pretty meaningful resolutions or realizations, many of them revolving around the fact that I got a lot of things wrong in my past." This was shared last July 2022. She says, "Today I went through my entire library." Now, remember the passage, Acts chapter 19:19, where they burned their occult books. "Today I went through my entire library and threw out books that just don't align with who I am and who I want to be. I've always found beauty in the macabre." She's a gothic kind of person, wearing this black exotic clothing, dabbling in tarot cards, witchcraft, and the occult. She had all of these things that she surrounded herself with. She says, "I always found beauty in that. But there became a point," she says, "when I just had to ask myself, what is my relationship with this content? And the truth is, I just don't want to invite any of these things into our family's lives, even if it comes disguised in beautiful covers collecting dust on my shelf." Now, her background is Seventh-day Adventism. Her parents were missionaries. And she describes in the past, many years ago, that Christianity, with a few Jewish traits, they kept the Sabbath, they went to church on Saturdays, they tried to follow the Ten Commandments, they didn't eat any pork or fish. And she talks about her father being a missionary doctor in Mexico. He built a hospital there. And she was telling her millions of followers that she just wants love and light around her family now. And she explained to her followers in this post last year that there is a spiritual battle taking place. And she goes on to say, "Look, I'm not trying to say this is something you have to do. We're all on our own journey," she says. She reemphasizes, "It's so clear to me now that there is a spiritual battle taking place, and I want to surround myself and my family with love and light." So she left California and moved from California to Indiana. She actually closed her popular shop, the High Voltage Tattoo Shop. She burned all of her bridges, her books, her occult, her witchcraft books, her shop, and now she lives in Indiana. So how do we respond to something like this? Well, the first thing we do is we thank God for the life-changing power of the gospel. This gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, who has called us out of darkness into light, who has translated us from that kingdom to this kingdom, who has disarmed principalities and powers, who set free a man that was demon-possessed that was chained to a graveyard in the Gadarenes. We thank God for the life-transforming power of the gospel. And we say, Jesus, you desire to set people free that are bound by chains of the occult, of darkness. And apparently, with Kat a year ago, or even maybe longer, these books no longer satisfied her. In fact, they became a bondage and a chain in her life. And she was noticing, as she described, a spiritual battle was taking place. Well, what's going on there? I don't know all the particulars of how she got to that. I only know what she shared with her Instagram followers. But what I do know is that she began to renounce these books and this practice. And that not only that, she said, I have to leave this state and I have to just take my family and I have to get away. So what was making all of her revenue and money was her tattoo shop and her merchandise. And she was willing to cut ties with all of that and to get rid of these books. And it came to the point that she says, you know, I want my life to be surrounded with love and light. Well, who is light? Light can be anything, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I'm hoping someday she will share her complete journey and fill in all the blanks that I don't know about. But this I do know about. Here is a very well-known social media mongrel. I don't like the term mongrel. Social media, socialite, whatever words you want to use. Probably a bad choice of words. Social media figure. Okay. Here is someone who is highly visible on social media, and she is willing to cut ties with all of those things because she has found her hope and freedom in Jesus. And then she says, look, I want my followers to know, those that go to my website, those that go to my Instagram page, I want them to see who I really am now. I want them to get a taste of who I am. And I'm not here to push this on you. And I realize I'm going to offend and alienate a lot of people. But I'm willing to do that because I have found peace and forgiveness and truth in Christ. And at some point, she had to go before a board of elders and a pastor and share that with them. And I'm sure they asked her lots of questions and wanted to know if this is a genuine transformation and conversion. And if it is, the next step, Kat, is you need to be publicly baptized. You need to identify with Jesus in your baptism, his death and burial and resurrection. You're dying to your old self. You're rising to a new person. You need to make that public. And so you saw in this video, this tattoo artist who still has her tattoos on her body to some extent, publicly renounce the occult, her old life, and say yes to Jesus and be baptized in his name. That's significant. Now I recognize, and there are all kinds of comments, I've read them, I recognize that there are a lot of people who say, oh, come on. This is just another celebrity gimmick. You're at a low point in your career. You need to hype it up so you're going to claim this conversion like, you know, Conway West or other big celebrities. You're going to make this declaration that I have found the truth and I have found light. And so there are those that dismiss it as not being genuine. Well, look, only time will tell. Only the fruit that should come out of this will be made evident that this was genuine. Only time will tell. But here is what I want to get to. How do we, as a church, respond to those in radical backgrounds, whether it be Islam, Satanism, or witchcraft in the occult. How do we embrace these people? We do it with a lot of fear and suspicion. We are very, very, I don't like people hanging around me, tattoos, that background. I'm just, and the church becomes afraid. And that's what I want to discuss today. Existence as Christians. Looking at the results of the powerful transformation of the gospel. While I understand that all of us have a little bit of apprehension and suspicion, we should welcome with open arms those that come out of backgrounds like this. Look at what the Bible talks about with the Apostle Paul, who was out to kill Christians. He would love to see the death of Christians. He was there possibly when Stephen was stoned. He was there to say, go for it, kill him. That was the Apostle Paul before he had a vision on the road to Damascus where Jesus appeared to him, and the Jewish Paul, or Saul, became the greatest apostle of the New Testament, writing two-thirds of the New Testament. He was radically transformed to a law-obeying Jewish person, Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he became a lover of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure there were Christians that questioned that, but here is God taking the most radical example of a Christian killer, someone that approved the death of the early Christians, and he took the Jewish law-abiding Pharisee Saul and turned him into the Apostle Paul, who loved Jesus with all of his heart, mind, and soul. And so we see the power of the gospel in the transformation of Paul. How much more should we not welcome with open arms those from radical backgrounds like Kat Von D coming out of the occult and witchcraft, renouncing it, publicly being baptized? We need to welcome her, and we need to be by her and to support her and to pray for her and to disciple her and to realize that the background she comes from, with a radical conversion to Christ, as she claims to have had, that this is going to take time. She has lived most of her life immersed in the occult, and now she's had a true conversion. We believe that. It takes time to unwrap yourselves from the chains that have held you bound. We know that the gospel transforms lives. But it takes time to disciple and to finally break completely free from that lifestyle. And we have to also recognize as Christians how God can use her in an incredible way to reach others that perhaps the church would never reach because she has a camaraderie or a common ground with so many others that were involved in what she was involved in, with witchcraft, the occult, and whatever, and that she can be a powerful witness now for the gospel. That's what we have to think about. And when we see this, we need to rejoice that Jesus once again has come into the lives of those that were adamantly opposed to him, to those that loved darkness more than light, to those that practiced something that was incredibly opposite of the biblical worldview. We need to embrace these people with love and acceptance and disciple them and show them how much the Christian church is not like you've been taught. And I'm thinking of the Salem witch trials, which every pagan I know of will point to as one of the reasons, not the only, but one of the reasons why they're suspicious of having anything to do with Christians, because Christians hate witches. Christians want to see witches put to death. And nothing could be further from the truth. This was a very sad time of history, a very tragic time of history, and that's why I wrote the book, A Witch in the Woods, The Persecution of Rebecca. Because our whole mission as Christians is to reach into the deepest, darkest pits of the lives of people that we would not like to see in church and reach out to them with God's love and forgiveness, reminding ourselves that we have been forgiven of such a debt, and that how much more now, because we are forgiven, that we should show mercy to those that are in the deepest, darkest pits of hell. And apparently, that's where Kat Von D was at one time. And I hope that there will be far more Christians that will be supportive of her and encourage her, and on her Instagram account, to say something positive, to quote scripture, to say, I'm here to support you and here to pray for you. I'm here to do whatever I can do to help you through this transition. That's what the church needs to do. Instead of being afraid, instead of being suspicious, instead of erecting all of these barriers that we are so accustomed to doing, we need to reach out and to thank God that the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has reached the darkest part of that pit in someone's lives and has totally transformed their lives out of paganism into the truth of the gospel. That's why I wrote this book. That's why I'm doing this broadcast today, to celebrate this life-transforming power of the gospel that breaks the chains of darkness surrounding us, that cuts through the hardest of hearts, that takes people like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and changes him into the great apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament defending the truth of the gospel. That's what the gospel does. We see a perfect example of deliverance. And right now, I want us to hear this worship song from Gateway Worship and think about this song. I want to come back and talk about it. It's a song called Deliverance. And this is what happened to Kat Von D. And prayerfully, it will happen to more just like her. That is powerful worship music from Gateway Worship, a song called Deliverance. 2 years ago, I wrote a book called Silenced, Shut Up or Die. It's about a Christian church in Seattle who's being forced to shut their doors down because of the COVID restrictions. One of the scenes in this book, which pertains to Mar's subject this morning, was the story of one of the members of that church. Her name was Kelly. She was a former cocaine addict who was delivered miraculously from drugs because of this church that went out on the streets. In this chapter, she's meeting with someone from the Wiccan religion, the pagan religion. This person has noticed her testimony on Facebook. She wants to talk to her. So we have this meeting between Kelly the Christian and Amber, who is part of Wicca or witchcraft, like Kat Von D was. And I wrote in here a dialogue of how we should talk to those like Amber, someone that would be like a Kat Von D, how the church should dialogue and talk with them. I want to just quote a couple of sentences from here to make my point. Now, Amber has just given a bit of her testimony to Kelly, and she said, you know, the Bible is just so filled with rules and regulations. Now, how does Kelly respond to her? How should the church respond to these people? Well, she says, I appreciate your testimony, Amber. Thank you for trusting me to share that with me. I just wanted to say to you about a holy book that you say is filled with rules and regulations. I don't see the Bible as a book filled with rules and regulations trying to rob me of my freedom. Instead, the Bible to me is a book filled with personal love letters from God. God speaks his love and truth to me. There was one really powerful verse in his book that totally set me free from heroin. I remember one night when I was totally at the end that I picked up my cell phone and somehow clicked onto this Bible verse that saved my life. Here, Amber, is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Now, here's what Kelly says next to Amber. Those were the most powerful, life-changing words that I had ever heard. Those powerful words of Jesus penetrated my darkened heart and illuminated my spirit with truth. I needed something very powerful to break the chains of darkness all around me, and I found it in this tiny little verse. Do you notice in this dialogue, which is just an abbreviation, there's much more of it if you get the book Silence, Amber is being taught the truth of the powerful life-changing gospel from Kelly, who is not afraid, who is not afraid of Amber and her background as paganism, witchcraft. She sits there and she shares what Jesus has done for her in a powerful, positive way without fear, and she does it with love and understanding and compassion. She portrays the God of the Bible as a God of love and forgiveness. Church, that is the message we need to take to the world of Muslims, pagans, Jewish people, Satanists, no matter what the background is, the message of God's love and forgiveness, that he is an intimate, compassionate, personal God who can change our lives from the inside out, not through rules and regulations, but from the good news of the gospel. It is the story of how Jesus breaks us free from the chains of sin, from the chains of darkness. And you see it so perfectly illustrated here in this story by Kat Von D. Let us support Kat Von D. join me in praying for her, that her conversion was real, that it will bear much fruit, and be there to support her and to give her positive affirmation and verses from the Bible, and most of all, to pray for her and her family. So I hope that this has been instructive and helpful for you today. Thank you so much for spending time with me, and I will see you again on Monday on the cross in the desert. God bless. Have a great weekend.